sense of God. Before we begin the lesson, if you see immediately after service I run, that is, I usually try to shake the hands of as many members and visitors. So if you see I leave, it's just that this afternoon, we have to run up into Ty Dixon. That's the Bard of St. Anne and St. Catherine. The Church of Christ there is having a service to honor myself, Brother Walker, and Brother Wilson from Manigue. The program's supposed to start at 4, so we have to leave here, run home, swallow something, and get there by 4. So that hopefully I can be back for night service. So if you see I run away, that is the reason. At the end of last week's study, we ended on the Israelites as slaves in Egypt for 400 years. We were looking on the truth that for these 400 years, the Israelites felt abandoned. They felt as if they were without God. They felt rejected, and you would, if for 400 years you have been looking to the God that your father and forefather told you about, to give some release from the bondage and the cruelty that you were experiencing. And you have seen your parents live out their lives, and you have almost lived out your life, and there was no ease from that and welcome situation. You would have wondered what happened to God. You would have felt rejected, alone, and without God. We pointed out then that all through this period, remember I told you that when we met Moses at the burning bush, the Israelites had been under slavery for some 300 years. And all along, God was behind the scene, working providentially for the Israelites. We look partially at Joseph. That in Joseph's difficult, problematic, tumultuous life, he saw the providence of God working to take care of his people. We need not go back to that passage right now. That is Genesis 45. When he opened the eyes of his brothers that this is your brother that you sold some years ago. And he told them that they were not the one who sent him to Egypt. It was God's way of working providentially to provide for his people. You know, in so many ways, that's an encouraging story because it tells you and me the extent to which God will go to make sure that his people are taken care of. We now look at the various present day concept or ideas in reference to God's mode of operation. In series of lessons like this, it's good to bring your paper or pen and sometimes jot down important truth and passages and facts that you can use to help yourself and to enlighten others. God's M.O. In criminal circle, we hear a lot about mundus operandi. That's Latin. That it couldn't be that criminal who committed this murder, because that is not that criminal M.O. Meaning that criminal doesn't kill with knives. All the murder he commits, it was some other means he used. People like Brother Watson will tell you that is referring to their M.O. That is, their mode of operation, how they operate. Wait, it is important that we understand how God operates. Very important that we understand God's M.O. In this age, remember too, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 11, that you and I are living in or at the end of the ages. That means after our time, there will be no time but eternity. In fact, read it, brother.
1 Corinthians 10:11.
That's right.
Now all these things happened unto them for examples.
Mm-hmm.
And they are written for our admonition.
They are written for our admonition.
Upon whom the ends of the world are come.
The end of the world has come upon us. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? You and I are living at the end of time. When this period ends, we enter eternity. It ends with judgment. So the Bible says that the end of the world have come upon us. So at the end of the world, it's important that you and I who live in this time, in fact, let me correct that. All men throughout the ages, it was important that they understood and that we understand God's mode of operation. Are we all there? It's very important. You know why? So that you and I will not waste time relating to God in ways to which God is not responsive. That you and I may know how to relate to God, that we do not offend God in how we relate to Him. But Mr. Mitchell, if I am sincere, I really sincere and relate to God because I know, will that offend God? Have you ever heard about Cain? Well, you must have heard, because you may think about the Cain that we eat. But I'm talking about Cain and Abel. The reason God accepted one worship, that is the worship of Abel, and rejected the worship of Cain, is because Cain did not pay much attention to God's mode of operation. That is, under what circumstances will the Almighty God accept worship? Because you are sincere? Not alone. No, sir, Cain was sincere. That's why he got mad with his brother when he saw that God accepted his brother's worship and rejected his. That was out of disappointment. He took it out on his brother. So being sincere is not enough. We are talking about the importance in understanding God's mode of operation. So God rejected a worship that was offered to him. Have you ever heard about Nadab and Abihu? They, sincere as they come, Old Testament priests, trained how to worship God. They were leaders in Israel. And they set out to worship. But they did not pay attention to God's mode of operation. That is, what time, when, under what situation will God find worship acceptable? So the Almighty God killed them instantly while they were worshipping. Mr. Mitchell, you sure they weren't worshipping some idol? No, sir. They did not pay attention to how God operates. Have you ever heard about a man called Naaman, who was dying of leprosy, because at that time there was no cure for leprosy. Unless you were cured miraculously. This man was a heathen and heard about God. But, you know, this man was a powerful man. And he had word out when he heard that there was somewhere on a person in Israel that could be a help to him. He went. He was a war general for the king of Syria. He had in his way how he wanted to be cleansed, to be cured of his disease. He did not pay attention to God's mode of operation. So when God's prophet told him exactly, wait, we have not pointed this out, that when the prophet Elijah told him to dip in Jordan or wash in Jordan 7 times, watch here now. The prophet did not just work that out in his head. The Almighty God had delivered the message to him that that is the way you must heal this man. And the prophet gave him directive. But you know what? From the first time he heard it, how God going to save his life, he began to rebel against it. And you know what he did? Just like what some of you have done or will do. God's prophet said, Jordan. There was but one Jordan, but there were many rivers. But God said, Jordan. God didn't say through the prophet, dip in rivers of water. No, sir. Jordan. But here is the problem. Naaman did not pay much attention or care about God's mode of operation. So he began to quarrel with the message and even with the item that God used to cleanse him. He began to compare the one Jordan with some rivers he had in his country. You want to let you into a secret? It reminds me of some people today. I say it's a secret I'm letting you into. Now I read in the Bible that same as there is one Jordan, I read in the Bible that there is one church. That's right. I read that in the Bible. In fact, there is a passage there that indicates that in the same way that there are many false gods, there is one true God. In the same way that there are many false faiths or teaching, there is one true faith. The passage teaches me that in the same way that there is but one true church, there are many false churches. Now, when we tell you that, you do just like Naaman did. He says, why couldn't I be dip in Farfar and Abana? What are those, Brother Mitchell? Those were two rivers in his country. But God had but one. And may I share something with you? Ultimately, of course, he came to his sense and went and dipped in Jordan. Had he not done that, he would have died. Same way with the church. One church is good as another. For who? For you. Not for God. That's right. Not for God. Because Jesus Christ purchased one true church with his blood. Now, mark you, Satan with men are brought in many. If I get to that point in the lesson today, I'll be showing you that the Almighty God have called some the synagogue of Satan. That's right, in the Bible. Synagogue church, yes. Did they call themselves that, Brother Mitchell? No, they were claiming to be the true church. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? It's important that we understand God's mode of operation. Even for us Christians, are we all there? Do I have time to point out that even David, the man of God, came to that knowledge under a very sad situation? You want to run with me, brother, to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13 and verse 12. Or rather, chapter 15 and verse 12. Chapter 15 and verse 12. I'm sick on God's mode of operation, God's M.O. Wait. The series of lessons on the providence of God is to help us Christian and you our 100 days to understand how God operates. Look here. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. But watch here, now watch here. In David's growth and development, he had to learn some things the hard way. So, 400 or about years before David, the Almighty God had given instruction in the book of Leviticus and elsewhere that when they were moving that instrument, the tabernacle that represents God's presence among the Israelites, it should move a particular way. Are we all there? We are always brushing important things that God command one side and say it's not important. Like baptism. The one true church. Well, David learned the hard way. You know what? The Almighty God killed suddenly, frighteningly, one of David's trusted servants. While they were moving that little instrument, it usually pulled by, well, they pull it by animal, but it was not to be pulled by animal and a car. It was to be carried by the priest. Are we all there? And wait. As they move the thing, and the animal, the wheel probably run over a stone, the ark rock. And this faithful servant of David, an Israelite, put his hand to settle the ark of the covenant. And the Almighty God didn't give him one day to live, 2 days to live. God killed him right there. And it put fear in David and all the people. Listen, David, now.
And said unto them.
That is David speaking.
Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites.
Read.
Sanctify yourselves.
Yes, yes. Clean up yourself. Set yourself apart for God.
Both ye and your brethren. That ye may bring up the ark of the Lord.
Take time with me, brother. Wait, brothers and sisters. May I? Oh, Lord, I wish I could stop the sermon just a bit. David learned his lesson. Brother Bean, they should have learned this from the beginning. Because God's instruction was there for some 400 years. How the ark should be removed. Now that God killed one of his faithful servants, David and the rest of the Israelites learn. So he's now going to have the Levites to move the ark. They are the one who should have moved it in the first place. Read.
That he may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because he did...
You notice, brother, where that... Well, go on, brother, because I don't want to spend all the rest of the lesson.
For because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order.
Somebody didn't... Say it again, brother. Because we did it
not.
Wait, you get it? They tried to move the ark, but they didn't do it properly. This passage is telling us when we do not do things according to God's mode of doing it, it's not done. It's not. Listen, because we did it not at first. You know what that means? We didn't use the priests as are the Levites as God dictated. So we not doing it right means we do not do it in God's sight. Huh? You ever notice when you have someone employed to you, be the person employed for a hour a day, be the person employed doing just a piece of work, and when you have to take the person back and show the person that the thing wasn't done right, and you know a lot of time you have to pay them again. That's the hurting. Huh? It simply means that in the first place, when they did it, it wasn't done. If the thing is not done right, it's not done at all. At least that's what we are reading here. Did I stop you from reading, brother? Verse 15 again.
That was end of 13.
Mm-hmm. 13 rather.
For because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us.
What was that breach? Killing Uzziah. Read.
For that we sought him not after the due order.
God's MO is that God operates from his due order. That has always been so. God's mode of operation. That is the way God deals with man. Us now, people in the past, people in the future, God has a way that he deals with man. And it's important that you and I understand. Please! May I? Brothers and sisters, did you know that answered prayer comes under God's providence? I've just gotten back to the lesson. In fact, I was on the lesson all the time. That's right. Answered prayer. You know what I find? I'm telling you. There are times, quite often, when I come down on a Sunday morning that I have a few things that always must get done. It matters if I can quote from my lesson outline verbatim, there's always something haunting me. Look over your lesson. And there are times when there are little things that I need to add to my outline. So there are times when I put up the sign. I need every second of my time. And just cannot deal with anyone. This morning was one of those times. What I find surprising, I know the brothers would choose a passage. It's the passage that Jonathan chose is an important part in the lesson. I didn't give him that passage this week. No, nobody got it because I was looking over the lesson. But watch here. I just told you that prayer comes under God's providential work. It does not come under his miraculous work necessary. Not that God has not responded miraculously to prayer, but those are the exceptions. Read the passage again, brother. You were reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8. And read, you start at about verse 24.
For we are saved by hope.
We are saved by hope.
But hope that is seen is not hope.
Uh-huh.
For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
Read on.
But if we hope for that we see not,
uh-huh,
then do we with patience wait for it.
Read on.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
Wait. I want you to get this now. The Spirit helps our limitations, infirmity.
For we know not what we should pray for.
Wait, did y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? Okay, you thought you are so smart. You can talk to God the right way. Well, unless you know something that God doesn't know. Because God here through his inspired writer is saying, we do not even know how to pray or what to pray for. But because the Almighty God knows that we are his children and we are sincere, you know what he made arrangement for? The Holy Spirit. Are we all there? When we pray, to take our prayer and fix it up. Isn't that wonderful? What a great God. Read that little part. Read, brother.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
The Spirit helps our limitations.
For we know not what we...
And it is telling you one of the ways in which the Holy Spirit does this. We do not know what
we should pray for as we
ought. And that includes the how to pray. Read on.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us.
The Spirit itself. How does the Holy Spirit do this? Miraculously? No!
With groanings.
This is done providentially. The thousands, millions of Christians all over the world that are praying to God daily, hourly, minutely, the Holy Spirit is involved in fixing up our prayers so that it will be accepted to the Almighty God. But this is not done miraculously. It's done providentially. Brother, let me say more of providentially. There's much more to learn about providential, God providential work. Watch, you know, one of the ways to look at it is, remember, when we talk about providentially, we are saying, yes, divine power was involved. But divine power does not always demonstrate itself in a miraculous way. It is divine, meaning from God, but it is not miraculous. Prayer, answered prayer, is a demonstration of God's providential work. The many prayer that God has responded to and is responding to daily, hourly, all that is done providentially. Are we there? Are we there? May I? So, brothers and sisters, here are some of the concepts out there in respect to how God works today. One, we have out there what is called deism. D-E-I-S-M. The word is really from Latin Deus, which means God. That's where we get the word deity, which means God. Deism, I'm going to outline to you briefly three or four concepts that is out there in the religious world in respect to God's mode of operation today. That is some of the belief, the religious belief out there in respect to how God operates today. So I mentioned deism first. Deism teaches that God is wise and powerful. Are we all there? And intelligent. Deism teaches that. Deism teaches that God, in his wisdom and power, created the world and the things that are therein. Are we there? But deism teaches that once God has created said the world, he has nothing else to do with it. He's not involved in any way in the government and the guidance of the world. God does not intervene in any way in the course that the world takes. In other words, this teaches that God's attitude is hands off. He created it, but that's all he does. That's deism. You talk about praying to God, the deists laugh at you. What God? God doesn't care what happened to you. You talk about revelation. Deism laugh at you. What revelation? God has nothing to reveal to man. Once he created the world and the things that are therein, he has an hand-off attitude. That's deism. That's one of the attitude out there. In fact, you have the belief of deism not only among ordinary men and women, but you have it a lot in college professors and all of these. Ordinary people also believe that God and prayer, no foolishness that. The Bible from God? No, sir. Bible from what God? God created this world and that's all he has to do with the world. That's deism. But then there is another attitude out there, our concept. And that is the belief in continuous miraculous intervention. That's another popular religious belief out there. What we are dealing with, you know, is the different beliefs about God's mode of operation. We have just looked briefly on deism. We are now looking on another religious concept that is common out there. And that is that God works miracles continuously every day. In our time. This is common, this belief among Pentecostal and the offshoot group of Pentecostalism, that every favorable event that happened to a church goer, those who believe in continuous miraculous intervention by God see it as miracle. If you are sick and you get better, it's a miracle. If you are driving in the vehicle and you miss a terrible accident, it's miracle. If the coconut drop off the tree, the dry coconut, and drop beside you and didn't drop in your head, it's a miracle. Everything that happened and it is favorable, these people see it as miracle. For them, God is performing miracle every day. Oh Lord, so much to deal with. When, those who were here last Sunday, when Gideon asked, in the book of Judges chapter 6 and from verse 12 following, when Gideon asked the angel, where are those miracles that we heard about? Gideon was acknowledging for these hundreds of years, God have not worked any miracle among them. But that's not unusual. That's the way God operates. That is God's mode of operation. God does not use miracles to continue things. He makes law for their continuation. in almost every area, including the spiritual. Wait. Gideon heard about God and was taught about the miracles that God did. But Gideon, not only did he not see any of it, he did not understand. He did not understand God. That God does not continually work miracles. Not because God can, but because it is not God's mode of operation. So he was there almost quarreling with the angel. Look how we the Israelites are suffering under the Midianites, and we supposed to be God's people. What about the miracle that our fathers and forefathers told us about? What I like about things like that is the Almighty God did not even respond to that. Truly, the Almighty God did that. You know, we, those of us who preach and teach, we like to take time off to explain things that you do not understand. No, God, no. In fact, I can take you to many places in the Bible. You know, that God does not usually address our excuses or whatever. So the Almighty God just tell Gideon, go on the mission that I send you. God doesn't explain that, Gideon, it's not my mode of operation to perform miracle content. No, God, no business with that. You see. Huh? So brothers and sisters, the continuous miraculous intervention by these groups, where every favorable event is seen as a miracle. The other point you will learn is that many people do not know what miracles are. You see, people mix up divine intervention and miracle. That God is involved does not mean he is involved miraculously. And you must learn that. I've just given a good example that prayer, God responds to prayer, not just every hour in the day, every second. Because you are true Christian all over the world praying to God and God is responding. But he used natural laws and selected agent to carry out his will. Huh? Your rent probably is due. You are unemployed. You are a true child of God. You have been praying to God because you are a responsible man or woman. You do not like to owe your rent. And God knows that you have a honest heart. And knows that you have been looking at job. You are not lazy. But you have not gotten one yet. You pray to God to help you. And you meet up on a brother or sister. And they knew that 3 months ago or a month ago you weren't employed. Have you gotten a job yet, Brother Mitchell? I have not picked up one yet. You know, the person pull you one side and go in his or her pocket and say, here is a $10,000. Brother Mitchell, they not give that much, you know. Okay. Well, anyway, some will give that much. Okay. You have been praying to God. He knows the stress you are experiencing, not able to pay your rent or buy some food. Huh? You no give God thanks for that 10,000. You no go one side and realize, say, God is real. That's how comes he provide that brother or sister or that stranger for that reason. God respond to prayer providentially. in next week's lesson, we will be, because we will be on it, and I beg you to learn, we will be going down the line. Are you all listening? Showing one or two illustrations from the Bible. Here are two women who were childless. Are we all there? Are we all there? Two women who were childless. Both of them looked to God for help. What you are going to see is how God used natural means. How God used natural biological law to help one, and use miraculous law to help the other. Both women had children afterward. But God's mode of operation was not the same in the two of them. That's right. I want that Christian understand, because everywhere you go, there are people who tell God perform a miracle. Miracle what? In fact, not only that. Next week, I'll be giving additional explanation in respect to what miracle is. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yes, so continuous miraculous intervention is one of the belief out there. Another belief out there in respect to God's mode of operation is faith or chance. Men and women out there who sees world happenings and world events as uncontrollable, without any element of purpose or design. There are lots of people out there who they see what's going on in the world as pure chance. It's just faith. This faith is spelled F-A-T-E, not F-A-I-T-H. F-A-T-E. Just faith. Everything you see going on out there is chance. Nobody in charge of the world. That's a popular belief out there too. And the last, which is the fourth, we have shown three ways already in respect to the concepts that are out there to describe God's mode of operation, or to describe what is going on in the world. One is faith, the one I've just described, which means everything which happens depends on pure chance. There is no intelligent mind behind it. That's faith, or chance. The other one is, and this is popular among Pentecostal group, continuous miraculous intervention. God is working miracle every day. And the other one is deism. Yes, an intelligent God created the world, but since he created it, he has an hands-off policy. He doesn't hear and he's no business with whatever go on in the world. But finally, and we're going to close with this. Providence. Yes, that's what the lesson is about. And just in 5 minutes, the lesson will be yours. Providence. Providence describes the biblical teaching which sees the wisdom and the power of God, which the Almighty God exercises continually in the preservation and the government of the world. Providence. That is, God continued to exercise His wisdom and His power in guiding the world toward the end of meeting God's design and God's purpose. Providence. Providence is talking about God's support, God's care, God's supervision, and God's control of and over all creation. Not some creation. It's about God's care, God's support, God's supervision, and God's control over all creation. It is divine, but not miraculous. Let us read the last passage in the lesson, Acts 17, 24 through 28.
God that made the world and...
Start again, brother.
God that...
Wait, brothers and sisters, we are reading this passage. The last passage in the lesson. It is telling us here that God is in effect saying He is responsible for the world and what goes on in it. The passage is going to even point out that there are some things that God is doing right now. God that made the world
and all things therein,
and made all the things that are in it. Wait. The deists would agree there. Read on.
Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth.
Wait. The passage didn't say He was Lord of heaven and earth. You see, it means that His lordship over the world is current. Now, He's Lord of heaven and earth. Now, that's why He is. Read on.
Dwelleth not in temples made with hands,
mm-hmm.
neither is worshipped with men's hands,
mm-hmm.
as though He needed anything,
mm-hmm.
seeing He giveth to all life.
Wait, life
and breath and all things.
Some things
and all things.
Jonathan, you didn't see something there that I see. Seeing that He does what?
He giveth to all.
Wait, take time, my brother. We are rushing it far. Brother, say I'm rushing because I have to go to Dixon. Okay then. You are forgiven. Seeing that He giveth
to all life.
Wait, but take time. He continues. You see, giveth means He continues to give. It's present continuous tense, which means God is doing it right now. He didn't only create the world, but the Almighty God has a providential activity going on right now and every day in the world. He giveth what?
Life.
Life.
And breath.
He's still giving life. He's still giving breath.
And all things.
And all things of life that you and I have. It is God who, not that He did give them, He's still giving them. Next week we pick up. Next week we pick up on the fact that God employed miracle in creation and in His revelatory process. And then we will move on. May I just drop this? One of the things we're going to learn next week in this lesson, still on the providence of God, among one or two other things that I have announced, where we are going to look and compare some providential and miraculous acts in the Bible side by side. But we will also see that the Almighty God never providentially operates in ways that is in conflict with His nature and His revealed will. God never providentially operates in ways that is against His own nature and that is against His will that He has revealed. Things like the thief and the cross going to come up. Things like men wanting God to give them a vision to tell them how to be saved. Going to come up. Thank you for your time. I beg that you learn so that you will be in a position to clear up any misunderstanding in your own mind about the God's mode of working in the world today, and that you will be able to help men and women understand. If you are here today and if you'd like to become a child of God, the Almighty God has His revealed will that you must listen to, be taught, learn, and obey before you can become a child of His. Brother Mitchell, give me the specifics. You must be taught the basics of the gospel. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died at Calvary to, with His life, pay the price for your sin. If you are here today and you believe that, you have never given your life to Christ the Bible's way, then you must move on to the other step. You must not only believe, you must make a resolve to repent of your sin. You must acknowledge that you have not lived the way the Almighty God wants you to live. And you must make a decision to turn from your disobedient and godly ways. But you are not a Christian of repentance. You must be willing to confess Jesus' name from your mouth. Meaning, you must be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, having confessed, you must be baptized to become one with Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. You can do that today. You can do that now.